How many of you remember your baptism? Some of us were baptized as an infant. I only remember my baptism because I heard the story from my folks. It's probably about time for me to hear that story again. I haven't heard it in a while. If you haven't ever heard the story of your baptism and it was an infant, then you can still have the opportunity to be able to hear that story from your parents, from aunts, from uncles, from other people. Ask them to tell you again. You always need a refresher course. Today's part of today's worship and the importance of why I think baptism of the Lord is so important is it is a refresher course for us to all remember our baptism and to sort of touch that water and to reaffirm once again being reminded that we are claimed by God. In the United Methodist Church, our understanding of grace and the way God works is that baptism is not our decision. It's God's grace working in and through us and through our parents and from generations that have come before us and generations even that will come after us, for God to reveal God's self to us and for that grace to begin to grow in our lives and for us to have the opportunity to say yes to God. Yes, there's a decision that we make, the gift that we offer to God and ourselves, but it's all because of God's grace acting and active in our lives. It begins a process as we continue on our Christian journey to grow in grace and grow in faith and on a journey. My home church is out in the edge of Winston-Salem. It's really in Walkertown, most people say, but the address is Winston-Salem, and so we had the one member who was always very insistent that our church was in Winston-Salem, not in Walkertown. But it's a smaller church. It was, late 1800s, and main sanctuary was maybe 1924, I think it was, if I remember correctly. Small, simple church, center aisle, basic, choir was in the back. Baptismal font still there. Last time I was there, I snuck into the same little metal closet in the cabinet in the closet where they keep it and saw it. It's just a plain little plastic bowl. I don't know how many people have been baptized out of that dish, but it's nothing fancy at all. It's just the small little silverish gray color bowl. It's what we remember when we gather around a fancy font like this with its six sides, wooden top, wooden, with a bowl in the center there. It's nothing particularly magical or amazing. In fact, Statesville, the last church, it was pretty exciting. They had the old white marble baptismal font that was from the old church. In the 1824-28 church, and it, for many years, sat downstairs in the basement upside down without a base on it. And finally, they decided to put a base on it and start using it again. Can I tell your story, Robert? When Robert first went to his first church, wasn't it? You went looking around for the baptismal font? It had been so long since it was used, it was hiding out in the closet behind the sanctuary. Couldn't even find it. Is that right? Did I tell that right? What we do with the baptismal fonts, and that's not necessarily the font. I love the commercial. I think it was for Kohler that went around a few years ago with the little altar boy in the Catholic Church, and the priest says, "We need water for the baptismal font." He takes off in his white robe running across the cobblestone streets all the way home so he could get the water to bring back to church out of the Kohler faucet because he felt that was the only one that was good enough. Remember that commercial? It's cute. It's not anything particular where the water comes from that makes it special. It can come out of the sink back here that sprays one way if you turn the pressure up too much. Or it can come out of the creek or the river or the fountain, but all of it's part of this water that we claim is partly baptized. When we bless that water, when we pray over that water, we believe that God's Spirit is with and in that water, and it changes it. It's not the same just basic old water. It's holy water. Do you know what the tops are for? It's to protect the partly it's just to keep the water from evaporating. We don't use it that much. But in the Middle Ages, once this was water was blessed, and it said in some of the churches, people would break into the church at night to steal the water because they believed it had magical powers, that it could heal, it could do stuff. The church is like, no. In a lot of places, they've wrapped chains around them, or they're big harnesses, buckles that would be huge keys to the baptismal fonts, all to protect this water from mysterious usage. But we don't do it for that. It's just kind of the baptismal font with a nice lid on it. It's not anything particularly special until we pray over it. Just regular old water out of the faucet. It's been blessed. What does it do for us? What does baptism do for us? I mean, you know, you could take me out and throw me into the freezing cold swimming pool. Us into that family. Part of what we understand the gift of baptism is that we are, what we say is, renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness within us. You know, in some of the more Orthodox churches, you technically are supposed to spit onto the floor at that point. It's classic tradition is you're spitting on the devil and the evil spirits. Don't do that here, please. Just the spirit is fine. But part of the way we say it in the church is that it allows the power of sin, it cancels the power of sins to have dominance in our lives. That we're able to do good. Not because of our own will or something happening for our own sheer bound and determination, but because of God's Spirit living in and through us. That us being a living vessel for God's grace to be shared with the world. Wow. It's just from some water. And it begins a new journey in the faith. That this is an entry point into God's family, into the church. In some churches you go in, you may visit, the baptismal font to be at the back doors. Because it's the entry point into the church, into God's family, is this water of baptism. And also, it's the reminder as you go out into the world of your baptism. That it's not just us, it's God's grace in and through us, through these gifts of water. Remember your baptism and be thankful. If you look in the Gospel of Mark in today's reading, it's kind of interesting. Part of it we hear about John and John out baptizing people with this message of one who is far greater than I am coming. It says that there's somebody else more important than I am. People are going out to see John, to hear John, to be baptized by John. And yet John announces and John says that there's somebody else more important coming. And just a couple verses later, it says that Jesus was baptized. It's a real gift in the book of Mark that we don't really know. If you read closely, who exactly baptized Jesus? We get the context, and it's in Matthew and Luke. It's more clearly spelled out, but in Mark, it's just that Jesus was baptized. And the reaction is that Jesus receives a message in Mark. In the other Gospels, it says that other people know, that other people hear, but in Mark's Gospel, it's Jesus hears. You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased. Oh, it's those close readings of the Gospels that sometimes show you a little bit into who Jesus was in a different way. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is the most human of the gospel writers. He's presented in a way that is very personable, very human. By the time you get to the Gospel of John, Jesus is the most divine, able to see and to understand and to do more. But we're in Mark's Gospel. We're in Mark's Gospel. Jesus is very human. And the gift that he receives is this dove descending, that the heavens are not opened, but they're torn open. Much more of a seriousness, or you can take the scissors and cut the package open, or you can rip it open. It's scarier. It makes more noise. It's more impactful of opening. And yet Jesus sees this dove descend on him and says, "This is." It affirms who he is through baptism. Perhaps the water of baptisms do that for us. It affirms who we are as God's people. It changes us. It changes the way we see. It changes the way we think. It changes the way we feel in our lives. And the way that we interact with one another. It's because of this water. It's because of this water that things change. Remember your baptism and be thankful. It's the same water that allows us to see the world around us with different lenses, too. Part of what baptism does is reminds us that regardless of where we come from or who we are, what we look like, how we act, what we think, that we too are part of God's family, that we are united as part of God's family, that all persons are welcome here at this table and are welcomed into God's family to share what it is that they have within them, what God has created them to be, with the world around as well. All people are welcome just as you are welcomed and just as I am welcome. Remember your baptism and be thankful. But also be aware that if you read on just a little bit more in Mark, that Jesus is drawn out into the wilderness, driven out into the wilderness. Doesn't take long. Your baptism's not like you get a, Jesus got a 12-year break and everything went hunky-dory. No. Jesus instantly went out into the wilderness, and we learn from other gospels that we say that he was tested by the devil, is how they say it. But God had claimed Jesus. God sent him out into the wilderness so that he could be tested, that he may be our Savior, that we can journey in the path with him, that we know that he's the author and the perfecter of our faith, and that we join with him as people of faith in the world. So as you go forth, as you remember your baptism, give thanks to God for all that God has given to you, claiming you as God's people. You may go into the world and share God's grace with others. All honor be to the one who was, who is, and who is to come. Amen.